Good morning, friends. It's great to be with you this morning. My name is James Hawksworth, lead pastor here at the Bridge Church at Bear Creek. It's a privilege and a pleasure to be with you this morning. Before we start our service, I just want to make a few brief announcements. One, if you are new, maybe it's the first time you're joining us, if you go to bridgebc.org/newguest, there you can fill out this form so we can follow up with you and help you get connected to the life of the church. We also want to thank many of you for your faithful giving and support of the ministry here. And if you go to bridgebc.org/give or you mail your checks in to 3101 South Kipling Street here in Lakewood, we are so grateful for your generosity and how God is doing great things through your generosity. So thank you very much for that. Again, just a few brief announcements. One, we have consistently partnered with our ministry partners in Juarez, Mexico. And if you haven't grabbed a shoebox yet, we fill up these shoeboxes with toys and gifts for children, boys and girls of all ages in Juarez. And there's a few of those left. And if you haven't turned those in yet, they are due next Sunday, November 8th. You can pick up a box in the Front Porch Coffee Shop or drop off your box at the Front Porch Coffee Shop. But they are due by next Sunday, November 8th. And also, we are looking forward to our next live in-person and live stream service. You will be getting more information soon about how you can RSVP for that service as well. And then one thing I want to mention before we jump into our service today as well is that on November 13th, we will have our next Fun Friday for our kids. And it's a great night for our children. It's a great night for parents to get away and have a day or disciple other couples as well. And if you go to bridgebc.org/Fun Friday, there you can sign up your children, but do so quickly as space is limited. And now, this morning's service is going to be what I think is really important and critical for us, especially at this time in our country, in our culture, and in our community, and in our church. That's a lot of C words right there, right, my friends? And what we need to be doing at this time, maybe you don't know this, but Tuesday there's an election happening, right? And I think the most important and the most critical thing that we can be doing as God's people is praying. And we're going to, in this service, you're going to see this service is bookended with the reign of God at the very beginning and the reign of God at the very end and what Christ has done for us right in the middle. And so this service, this liturgy is designed to walk us through the creation of God and what God has done for us in Christ, and how our anger and our anxiety can be processed through the grid of God's sovereignty, and we will conclude our service with the reign of God as well. And so this morning, you're going to hear a lot of Scripture, and you're going to be challenged to pray right where you're at, either at home or in the sanctuary here at church, but you are going to be challenged to pray. We're going to sing. We're going to confess our sins. We are going to walk through this time together. But it starts and ends with Jesus. John, when he starts his gospel in John 1, he says this: "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." I love that passage because John, the best friend of Jesus, roots the whole story of creation and the universe in what Jesus has come to do, and no darkness can overcome Jesus. And so again, prepare our hearts this morning. And as we do that, you're going to hear from our children's ministry director, Alicia Petty. We've been going through the past few weeks about Gospel 101. And this morning, she's going to be talking about Jesus as the Savior. And then she's going to lead us into a call to worship, and we will sing together. But let's hear from Alicia this morning to start off our service.
Good morning, church. My name is Alicia Petty, and I am the children's ministry director here at The Bridge. Now, I'm here this morning to talk to you about my Savior. The dictionary defines a savior as a person who saves someone or something from danger. Now, I'm sure we've all had someone save us from something, probably many times in our lives. And by this definition, really anyone can be a savior. But as believers, our definition of a savior should be much different. Our Savior didn't come to rescue us from just anything. He didn't make himself human to save us from inconvenience or preferences Nope. My Savior, and I hope your Savior, came to rescue me from things no one else could ever rescue me from, sin and death. How awesome is that? I want you to say the word awesome with me. What happens to your jaw when you say that word awesome? It drops, right? Well, at least it should, because my Savior, Jesus, well, he's the most wonderful, most amazing, most awesome rescue plan in the history of, well, ever. Now I could talk to you guys all day about my Savior, but I have some people here who can say it much better than I can.
So,
a long time ago,
there was a guy named Jesus.
He was God's son, God's rescue plan for us.
He came to earth, healed people, told them about God, and then he died for us. He paid the price for our sin.
Because sin always has a price.
A price that we can't pay. Jesus did.
After that,
he came back to life.
Then he went to heaven
to be with his dad again.
Jesus had taught his friends how to be like him.
So even though they couldn't see him, they could act like him.
That meant sharing with each other,
loving each other,
praying for each other.
Most importantly, they could tell others about God's rescue plan.
Jesus.
And so can we. Jesus called them the church.
Now sometimes,
when we think about church,
we might think about a building or a place.
But church isn't a building. Actually, the church is people.
I'm the church.
I'm the church.
You're the church.
You're the church.
You're the church.
We
are the church.
All of us.
When you act like Jesus, you're being the church.
When you help,
you are the church. When you pray for someone, you're the church.
When you show love,
you're the church.
When you tell people about Jesus, you're the church. We are the church.
One day, Jesus will come back for his church.
He'll finish the rescue plan he started.
It will be amazing.
It will be amazing.
It will be amazing.
It's going to be amazing.
It will be amazing.
It will be amazing. And that.
And that
is some really good news.
It's some really good news.
It's some really, really, really good news.
About our Savior.
Jesus.
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 Out of the mouths of babes, right? Thank you, Bridge Kids. Now let's prepare our hearts for worship this morning through our call to worship responsive reading. The Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice. Let the many coastlands be glad. Clouds and thick darkness are all around him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. Fire goes before him and burns up his adversaries all around. His lightnings light up the world. The earth sees and trembles. The mountains melt like wax before the Lord of all the earth. The heavens proclaim his righteousness, and all the peoples see his glory. All worshipers of images are put to shame, who make their boast in worthless idols. Worship him, all you gods. Zion hears and is glad, and the daughters of Judah rejoice because of your judgments, O Lord. For you, O Lord, are most high over all the earth. You are exalted far above all gods.
O Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made. I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed.
Come on, church. that God is Son, not sparing, send him to die. I scarce can take it in.
Thank you so much, Ian and team, and we are going to continue to focus on the greatness of God. But before we do that, we want to dismiss our children to Kids Church, and let's just take a couple minutes to greet one another as well, right where you're at, and we'll be back in 2 minutes. Welcome back. The first section of our worship service this morning is dedicated to the creation and the reign of God over everything. You heard that in our call to worship, how the Lord reigns. We talked about how Jesus was the creator of heaven and earth. And we want to remind ourselves here of the reign, the goodness, the supremacy, the sovereignty, and the greatness of our God. Jesus is Lord, and we're going to proclaim that throughout this whole morning. And as we walk into this time, I want to remind ourselves, I want to remind myself that God reigns, that He is King of this universe, and that is good news. Again, the writer to the Hebrews, or the book of Hebrews, he says this beautifully in Hebrews 1. He says, long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed the heir of all things, through whom He also created the world. He, meaning Jesus, is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of His nature. And He upholds the universe by the word of His power. Did you catch that last part there? Jesus upholds the entire universe by the word of His power. Because God has created this world, therefore He reigns over this world. And may we be reminded of that in such a heated season and time about who truly runs this world, my friends. You're going to hear now from Psalm 146 more about the reign of our God. Now listen to this and let these words from the psalmist pour over your heart.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Put not your trust in princes, in the Son of Man in whom there is no salvation. When his breath departs, he returns to the earth. On that very day, his plans perish. Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, who keeps his faith forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the sojourners. He upholds the widow and the fatherless. But the way of the wicked, He brings to ruin. The Lord will reign forever. Your God, O Zion, to all generations. Praise the Lord.
Look at all God has done for us. The psalmist challenges us to remember the mighty works of God and who we should ultimately trust. It's not in princes or powers of these ages. It's in the Lord Himself who accomplishes and does great and mighty things. We are to remind ourselves that this is, as the old hymn goes, this is my Father's world. In fact, a theologian by the name of Abraham Kuyper said this well when he said this. There is not a square inch in the whole domain of our human existence over which Christ, who is sovereign over all, does not cry, mine. Wow. Jesus is Lord. God is sovereign over His universe. I remember watching a while back a brief segment of something that somewhat turned into a political rally, and you've probably heard this chant before. It's not the first time it's ever been used, but someone began chanting, 4 more years. And I reflected back. I'm like, you know what? We don't need someone to reign for 4 more years. We need an eternal king. We need someone who will reign forever. It speaks to the desires of the heart for someone to reign and rule. And my friends, if you are a Christian this morning, we have good news. And even if you are not a Christian this morning, we have good news for you as well, that we serve a king who reigns forever. And therefore, no earthly king, no earthly president or power can match King Jesus. And we want to focus again on His greatness this morning. The prophet Daniel, whose people, the Jews, had been hauled into exile into Babylon, would pray when he was in exile in Babylon. Daniel prayed this prayer. He said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, to whom belong wisdom and might. He changes times and seasons. He removes kings and He sets up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. We're going to now enter into a time of prayer where this segment of prayer is focused on God's greatness, His supremacy, His majesty, His sovereignty. And we're going to give thanks to God for who He is. We're not going to focus right now on the problems or the fears of this moment, but we're going to focus our prayer on God Himself. And so whether you're at home in your living room or you're at a table right now or you're by yourself or you're with people, we're going to take now these next few moments, and you'll see prayer prompts on the screen as well. But we're going to take time now praying about and thanking God for His greatness, goodness, and majesty. Let's go to prayer now.
Thank you.
Now that we've taken time to focus on God's goodness and greatness and power and majesty, I want us to now address what we feel often, and that's in our cultural moment right now, anger and anxiety. Just the other day, I had a conversation, back-to-back conversations with people, one who was expressing basically anxiety and the other who was basically expressing anger. And we see it prevalent in so many places. We see it prevalent even in our own lives. We may feel angry or anxious about what's going on around us. And so this next segment is taking time for us to pray and work through our anger and anxiety. And as we do so, again, we're going to focus here on what God says about these things. Again, about who reigns. God will continue to reign. And what Jesus has to say about anxiety. These next two passages you're going to hear come from Psalm chapter 2 and Matthew chapter 6. And again, let these scriptures speak to your heart. Listen carefully. Engage your mind and your heart as you hear these read now.
Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, "Let us burst their bonds apart and cast away their cords from us." He who sits in the heavens laughs. The Lord holds them in derision. Then he will speak to them in his wrath and terrify them in his fury, saying, "As for me, I have set my king on Zion, my holy hill. I will tell of the decree. The Lord said to me, 'You are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will make the nations your heritage, and the ends of the earth your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron, and dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Now therefore, O kings, be wise. Be warned, O rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear, and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish in the way, for his wrath is quickly kindled. Blessed are all who take refuge in him."
Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field. How they grow, they neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not be anxious, saying, "What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?" For the Gentiles seek after all of these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble.
And now that you've heard again from God's word, we're going to take time now to pray out our anger, our anxieties, our fears. We're going to be honest. Let's be honest with God and with each other if you're in community this morning praying around a table or in a living room. But we're going to take time now to pray these things out and give them to the Lord. Because as God says, we've said this before, he says to Cain in the book of Genesis, "Do you do well to be angry?" And the rhetorical answer is, no, we don't do well. And we recognize that we're anxious. And Jesus says, what good does your anxiety bring? And so the best thing that we can do now is pray these things before the Lord and before each other. And so let's go to prayer again. Again, you'll see more prayer prompts, but let's now pray out our anger and our anxiety.
Church, let's sing.
Now that we've prayed through anger and anxiety and fears, and we've prayed for our nation and our community, it's always important to remember that anger and anxiety are often tied to not remembering well. And the psalmist says, I will recount the mighty deeds of the Lord. And we're going to focus now on what Jesus came to do for us. We're going to remember that Christ came to set us free from sin, that Christ came to establish his kingdom. and that he is Lord. And so in this next segment, you're going to hear this prayer from the Apostle Paul from Colossians chapter 1, that his prayer for God's people is that they will understand just how amazing it is what Christ has come to do. I think the best thing that God's people can do in this season is remember and recount the mighty deeds of God. And so listen to Paul's prayer for you as well, my friends, from Colossians 1 now.
And so, from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by Him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. And He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything He might be preeminent. For in Him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of His cross.
Standing on the rock, standing on the rock that won't be moved. I'm standing on the rock, standing on the rock that won't be moved. I'm standing on the rock, standing on the rock that won't be moved. I'm standing on the rock, standing on the rock that won't be moved. I'm standing on the rock, standing on the rock that won't be moved. Standing on the rock, standing on the rock that won't be moved. I'm standing on the rock, standing on the rock that won't be moved. I'm standing on the rock, standing on the rock that won't be moved. Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground.
And now, as we focus on what Christ has done, he gives us a mission that we get to participate in what God is doing here on earth. Guess what, my friends? Regardless of who wins the election on Tuesday, the mission of God does not stop. That the mission goes forward regardless of who won or lost an election. That God's people and God's mission goes forward because God's kingdom is greater than the kingdoms of this earth. And Jesus is Lord once again. And so now we're going to take time praying into the mission of God's people for us here at the Bridge and for God's mission globally as well. But let's take time now. Let's storm heaven that we will be faithful to make much of Jesus in the days and months and weeks and years ahead. Let's pray for God's mission now. This next segment of our service is now designed to prepare us for the Lord's Supper together. As we've looked at the reign of God, we've prayed out our anger and our anxieties. We've recognized what Christ has come to do for us in establishing His kingdom and His work on the cross and His resurrection. We now come to living together as God's people. Paul says this beautifully in Philippians chapter 2 about what Christ has done and what He calls us to do as His people. Listen to this from Philippians chapter 2. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. And may we as God's people reflect Christ's character to this world. I believe that this next season for God's people, the Church of Jesus, is going to require endurance and perseverance. It won't be a time for a shallow or a weak faith, but an enduring and durable faith. And so, as we prepare to look into our own hearts as a time of confession, I want to remind ourselves what the writer again to the Hebrews says from Hebrews 12. He says this, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. This is going to be a time for the endurance of God's people, and we do it by focusing on Jesus and what he has done. And as the writer says, we cast aside, we throw off the weights of sin that entangle us. And if we want to see God do a great movement in our community, in our nation, in our world, great movements of God are precipitated by prayer and confession of God's people. And so we've been praying a lot this morning, and now we're going to take time for confession individually, and then we're going to come together corporately and pray a prayer of confession. But let's take some time now, and let's throw off the sin that so easily entangles, and let's pray and ask God to search our hearts and take some time in preparation for the Lord's table to confess individually and then corporately together. And now let's pray this prayer of confession that David penned after he had committed a grievous sin against God from Psalm 51. Let's pray this together. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only, have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. For you will not delight in sacrifice, or I would give it. You will not be pleased with a burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. Oh, what good news that we have, that all our failures and sin and shortcomings have been paid for by Christ. And so before we take the Lord's Supper, we're going to sing this beautiful hymn, In Christ Alone, to focus on what Jesus has come to do for us. Let's sing together.
I'll stand. No power of hell, no scheme.
And now let's get ready to take the Lord's Supper together. I got my friend Leslie here. Leslie, it's great to have you on the staff team as well now, too. And it's awesome.
Thank you, James.
You bet you. And we're going to celebrate together what Christ has done. We've taken time for confession and reflection. We've celebrated what Christ has done. And on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he was celebrating that ancient Passover feast with his disciples. And when Jesus had given thanks, he broke it. He said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Eat this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, Christ took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for many for the forgiveness of sins. For as often as you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you do proclaim my death until I come again." And you hear that part where Jesus says, "Until I come again," because Jesus is reigning right now, and we long for the day when he will return. And that's why each week when we take the Lord's Supper, we proclaim these beautiful three statements about King Jesus. And together we proclaim, Christ has died, Christ is risen, and Christ will come again. And that is the good news, that we proclaim that Jesus is Lord once again. And so, as you serve one another, remind your friends and your neighbors and your family about the body of Christ broken for you and the blood of Christ shed for you, and let's partake together. And like we said at the beginning of the service, we are bookending this with the reign of God from before time began to the reign of God into eternity. And now hear this powerful word on how the story not necessarily ends, but continues with the reign of God from the book of Revelation. Hear the word of the Lord now.
"Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who is seated on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who is seated on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They cast their crowns before the throne, saying, 'Worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created.' And I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God the Almighty and the Lamb. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and its lamp is the Lamb. By its light will the nations walk, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it, and its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. They will bring into it the glory and the honor of the nations, but nothing unclean will ever enter it, nor anyone who does what is detestable or false, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, through the middle of the street of the city. Also on either side of the river, the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads, and night will be no more. They will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. And he said to me, These words are trustworthy and true. And the Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, has sent his angel to show his servants what must soon take place. And behold, I am coming soon. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. Behold, I am coming soon, bringing my recompense with me, to repay each one for what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end.
Eternal God, unchanging, mysterious and unknown, your boundless love unfailing, in grace and mercy shown. Bright seraphim in ceaseless flight, around your glorious throne, they raise their voices day and night in praise to up.
Amen and amen and amen. Thank you so much for taking time to pray, to confess, to walk through this time together as a community. It's so essential that we as God's people hold fast to what God is calling us to do, and may we continue to make much of Jesus in the days and weeks and months ahead. We're going to close this morning with a beautiful prayer, a benediction that David, King David, prays, one of his last prayers while he was still alive, that he prays and attributes to God. I think this is so fitting for our moment that we're in, and may this be our heart's prayer as well. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heavens and in the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all. In your hand are power and might, and in your hand it is to make great and give strength to all. And now we thank you, our God, and praise your glorious name. May we live under the gracious and good reign of God, now and forever. We love you. God bless you. Have a great week.